In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with life, divine life. And this is Volume 23, September 21st, 1927. Jesus says, my daughter, there is no proof that is more certain and sure that can do greater good both to you and to others than having manifested to you so many truths. So this is the thing that I was just talking to a priest this weekend, and I'm explaining the divine will, and I basically said this: there's no proof more certain and sure that can do a greater good both to you and to others by what Jesus has manifested to Luisa Picaretta. These truths, these lessons, this life of God he wants to pour into us. And it was very hard for this priest. He's a good priest. He's a faithful priest. And he looked at me and he just, how can you say that? And I said, well, the only thing you can do is read. You got to read. And it's the truth. As you begin to read, as you begin to study, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that's been given to humanity through Jesus to Luisa, from Jesus to Luisa is the only thing that's going to get the church and the world through the crisis, the war that we're going through. It's the only thing that's going to get us through this. There is nothing else that can do this. The prayers of the saints aren't powerful enough to get us through what's coming, because what's coming is the kingdom, and God is getting everything in order. He's given to each person, what do you want? How do you want to live? What do you desire? And that answer that you give to God is what he's going to give to you. This is when God said to Adam, don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. He disobeyed. He was unfaithful. So for the last 2,000 years, God has given us the church to be faithful, to be obedient to Christ and his church, to be faithful to Christ and his church. And that's been shattered over and over and over again. Even though we have been redeemed, humanity says, I want what I want. The human will is so strong. The human will is so in charge of humanity. That's why we go to confession each week. What did St. Paul say? My desire is strong, but my spirit is, it wants one thing, but my flesh wants something else. That human will is so strong that, God is now, as he said to Luisa, now is the time for sanctification. I've given the world, it was 4,000 years of praying for the Messiah, and now it's 2,000 years praying for the kingdom. And Jesus says, now is the time for the kingdom to come. And, so what I'm manifesting to you, Luisa, is a greater good that I can do for you and for anybody who reads it. So Jesus says the truth is more than a miracle. It's going to see the time of the evil one is over. That 6,000 years is over. And as Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. That era is over. So the new era that's coming, the new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, using St. Honorable de Francia's words, is close. It's very close. And even the heavens are proclaiming the glory of God. So Jesus says to her, the truths are more than a miracle. Why? Because it brings permanent divine life within itself. See, redemption is for anyone who wants it. Okay, and then what does Jesus say? I've given to the world, I've given to humanity medicines, that's the sacraments and sacramentals, to bring healing, because the manifestation of that true healing, that fullness, hasn't occurred yet. It's going to happen. He says, the truths that I speak to you, that I manifest to you, Luisa, brings a permanent divine life within itself. And wherever it reaches, and whomever listens to it, whoever reads it, it bilocates the truth together with its life to give itself to whomever wants it. So now that what Jesus is saying is sanctification is given to those who want it. When Jesus said to the apostles, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect, it's this life that he wants to give us. Do you want this life, or do you want the human misery? So what's happened over the last 6,000 years is, even though we've been redeemed 2,000 years ago, the evil one has been in charge. But his time has come to an end. It means he's gone. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one has to leave. Why? Because he's been banished from heaven. Heaven's coming to earth, so he's going to be banished from earth. He's not just going to be banished from the earth or our solar system or our galaxy. He's being banished from the universe. He's going to be gone. So what does that mean? What's coming? The sanctification. Jesus, you know, scripture tells us that what will happen is there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. And somebody says, well, that's only at the end of the world. Well, it's world without end. That's what we pray every day. And it's the end of the evil one. His reign is coming to an end. It's not the end of the world, because people are going to go where they want to go. Those that want heaven will have heaven on earth. Those that want hell will go to hell. It's very, very simple. It's not very complicated to understand what Jesus is going to do. And it's not many religions. It's the universal life that God breathed into Adam. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but that's what Jesus tells Luisa. It's this universal life, this Catholic life is how we're supposed to live. And this divine life that is spoken with this truth, he says it's more than a miracle. It brings permanent divine life within itself to whoever wants to listen, to whoever who wants to say, Fiat, Our Lady listened. When the angel said to her, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, how can I do this? What do I need to do to make this happen? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, Fiat mihi. So this desire of this yes to God, this permanent divine life within, is to those who want it. So it bilocates the truth together with its life to give itself to whoever wants it, whoever wants it. Now that's people of goodwill. That's why everyone will be Catholic, because everyone of goodwill, of God's will, those who want what God wants, is going to receive it and become Catholic. It's very, very clear, because Jesus teaches Luisa, when Adam sinned, he lost the image and likeness. So through holy baptism, the sacrament, you enter into God's image. And with the book of heaven, Jesus says, now I will teach you day by day, as much as you want, little by little, as much as you want, how to begin to live this divine life, how and why this has to happen. And so it's for the souls who, as Jesus says, who are seeking, they're going to find it. Who are knocking, it's going to be open to them. It's what do you want? Do you want things of earth? Jesus says, you know, through the saints, the way of the world is going to end up in fire. It's the fire and love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But what does that mean? It consumes the world in love so heaven can be here. So all that is not of God is gone. So this listening is our reading. And for those that can't read, who are listening, and it's the truths that Jesus is giving to humanity, as much as they want or as little as they want. 30, 60, or 100-fold, as Jesus says. Volume 23, September 28th, 1927. My daughter, my divine will was given from very beginning of creation of the creatures, as life of the creatures. And it took on the commitment to maintain this life in them whole, beautiful, in full vigor, administering to each act of the creature, a divine act of its own. Let's see, he's showering us with this truth, these lessons. From the very beginning, he breathed this life into Adam and Eve for all of humanity, for everyone and everything. And it took on the commitment, this divine will, to maintain this divine life in each and every one of them, whole, beautiful, and full of vigor. Administering, this is heaven. This is paradise. In each act of the creature, a divine act of its own. And at the height of its sanctity, of its light, of its beauty, of its power, this is what God has given to humanity. And even now in paradise, all the animals are still alive. There's nothing dead in paradise. There's nothing inanimate in paradise. We have been banished from paradise. Why? Because that's what Adam, he didn't want to listen to obey. And what does that mean? It means that he had to go to the one that he listened to, the evil one. And what did Jesus say? I saw Lucifer fall like lightning from heaven. That's where we are. We have fallen from heaven. We have been banished to earth. Why? To become aware of God. And that's why for 4,000 years of praying, the children of Adam praying for the Messiah, he came. 4,000 years after 4,000 years of prayer. And what did Jesus and Mary bring? They brought the universal life that Adam lost, the Catholic life. And so for the last 2,000 years, we've had the opportunity to read, study, put into practice the dogma and doctrine of our faith. And how great it is to be Catholic. It's so full of truth. And now Jesus says, now we're at the end of that era. He said this through his mother to Bruno in 1947. Now a new era is coming. And that's why it was like when Jesus died, rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. When Louisa died, 40 days after she died, after she died, 40 days later, Our Lady descended to earth. And what did Our Lady say? She said to Bruno, time is now over. Now the new era is coming. This new era is the manifestations that Jesus told Louisa. This new era, it fulfills everything in the Catholic faith. All the prophecies of the saints, all the dogma and doctrine, all the sacred scripture, all the tradition of the Holy Church points to sanctification. We even say it every Sunday in the Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. This new era of sanctity is coming. So Jesus is getting us ready for this new and divine way of holiness. He's offering us this opportunity. And those that have had the opportunity to read and study, Jesus says basically, he says this, I have given you the book, and it's either you want it or you don't want it. And I know a number of people, when reading the Book of Heaven, they with their human understanding say, I don't see this with any of the saints. I don't see this any place. How can this happen? Now, with that, Jesus is saying, okay, he says, keep on reading, keep on studying. And some of them put the book down for years. But now there's a surge of humanity reading the Book of Heaven. For example, 1 through 19 was read by Archbishop Carrara when he was a seminarian. And he became the one who really pushed forward the cause. And when Archbishop Cassati came in, he started the cause. The Vatican said yes. The cause was finished from 1994 to 2005. The cause was finished, and they had a positive evaluation. They said, we believe Luisa should be canonized. And this is now in the church's hands. The church is looking at it, and there are some people that don't want it. Some people would rather not have the divine will. It shows you what's happening. Jesus says it's this, the sorry about that. The manifestations to Luisa maintain this divine life, beautiful, full of vigor, administering to each and every creature. It's a divine act of its own. That's what God is teaching us now. And it's filled with light, filled with power, filled with beauty. And it would be placed at itself in waiting for their act in order to give it its own, in order to such a way as to make it in a portent of divine life, worthy of its power and worthy of its wisdom. That's been going on since the fall of Adam. Now, Jesus is saying, now we can begin to live this abundant life. Now we can begin to possess this again as Adam. So he said, in order to comprehend this, it is enough to say that my divine will was to form as many lives of itself in each creature, in each soul. Therefore, it would place the whole of its ability and its infinite qualities it possessed in the exercise of working. Okay, so Jesus is saying, as we begin to learn this, as we begin to study this, as we begin to put this into practice, we begin to know that our human response is human. And that's all that we've had since the fall of Adam. It's a human desire. Now the saints have disciplined themselves. They've mortified themselves. They fasted, they prayed, they've spent time living in the desert, abandoning all of the things of the earth in order to become holy. But it's a human holiness. Okay, it's of God. It's a sanctity that we say they have, but to enter into this new and divine way of holiness, this is the sanctity of Jesus. It's the sanctity of Mary. Now, what we honor the saints for their love of God, and we try to imitate them, like the Franciscans imitate Francis, Benedictines imitate Benedict, the Dominicans imitate Dominic, and all the religious community. These imitate their founder or foundress. What Jesus says is he wants us to have his life, the new Adam, and his mother's life, the new Eve, to begin to live their life. So in prayer, this is what he's saying to enter into this ability to the infinite qualities. It's the infinite qualities of Jesus, infinite qualities of Mary. And little by little, we enter into this life, and it will never end. Through all eternity, we're going to learn more and more and more of how to possess these infinite qualities of God, little by little. And that's why eternity is where we belong. Eternity is where we basically are mesmerized, if you want to say, the beautiful image of the beatific vision, to be in the presence of God, adoring him and loving him and praising him. So these infinite qualities of heaven are given to us again. And God is now going to teach us how to exercise these workings. He says, how beautiful are these divine lives that the souls would have been if in looking at them, we were to find in each of the human God's divine reflection, God's divine image, God's echo, the echo of God's divine happiness. We haven't had that in 6,000 years. We've gotten close with the saints who learned how to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God has never been given to the saints. He says, until now. He says, because of Luisa, he says, I give now the understanding, the desire, those that desire to enter into this likeness, image and likeness, can begin to possess it. So he says, how beautiful would these lives have been if Adam had been faithful. So we, God, looking at them, we, God, were to find our reflection, our image, our echo of divine happiness. What joy, what feast creation would have been for us, triune God, and for humanity. So what Jesus is showing us is this new and divine way of holiness. He's ready to, it's now for 2,000 years of receiving the sacraments and sacramentals, our dogma and doctrine. And he says now, he says the door is going to be open. Why? To the one who has the keys to the kingdom. So he says, now you must know that one who does not do my divine will and does not live in my divine will wants to destroy his own divine life within himself that he was to possess. You see what's coming? God is offering us the way and the how of living in the divine will. And he says, one that does not do, this is becoming a saint, 1 through 10, or live in the divine will, that's volume 11 through 19. It's also volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive again the divine inheritance of the Father. Destroys his own divine life within himself, that which he was to possess. So do you see what's coming? God is like the 3 days of darkness. It's very easy to understand the 3 days of darkness. God says to death, to the devil, take what's yours and leave. Go. Who belongs to you has to leave. Why? The kingdom is coming. This is for those who want this divine life within themselves. Those who want to receive what God wants to give to them from the beginning. So this is why our job is to pray not only for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, but our job is to bring about a new and divine way of holiness. This new and divine way of holiness is so close. I mean, you know, the talk of World War III, the genocides that have been going on for such a long time. The devil wants to destroy everyone and everything. He doesn't want God to have anything. He doesn't want God to have any blessings. All he wants for the earth is curses. So Jesus is showing us through Louisa that this divine life that God wants to breathe in us, is he's ready to do that. He wants us to possess this gift. He wants us to learn how and why this has to come. So he says, to destroy one's life, what a crime. What a crime to destroy one's life. And the evil one has convinced humanity that this is okay. You can abortion, euthanasia, the drugs, the all that's out there. He wants to destroy one's life. And Jesus says, this is a crime. What God wants to give to each human is divine life. And he says, who would not condemn one who wanted to destroy his own corporal life, or who did not want to take food, reducing himself to be an emaciated, infirmed, incapable of anything? Now, one who does not do my divine will, this is the saintly life. This is the good life. This is the holy life in a human way. The ones who do not want to do my divine will destroys his life and that divine goodness that wants to give to him. The one that does not do my, the one that does my divine will, but not always, and does not live in it because he lacks continuous and sufficient food, is the poor, ill one without strength, emaciated, incapable of doing true good. This is those that don't have the sacraments, that don't have the medicine to be good. Those that, how many people have I heard that I don't have to go to confession. I confess to God in the woods. He hears me. But that's not what he said when he rose from the dead. He said to the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. He already gave to the apostles the Holy Mass on Holy Thursday. This, do this in remembrance of me. And then when he rises from the dead, he says, you can forgive sins, you know, and why this is the authority he gave to the priest. This is why in baptism, we're ontologically changed. We're no longer sons or daughters of Adam. We're sons and daughters of God. The same thing with an ordination. We're ontologically changed. It's Jesus in us that is, he's the one. And that's why there is such hatred for the priesthood, because they can't believe these sinful men are doing what God wants. You know, so of course they condemn. But Jesus is saying to us, watch what I'm going to do. He says, I will give you continuous and sufficient food to be healthy. And that's the sacraments. Look at the souls who don't keep holy the Sabbath, who've made sports their God on Sunday. And look at their life. I mean, look at the souls who keep holy the Sabbath and glorify God on the Sabbath. There's a big difference. And what it is happiness. You know, some people think that just money is happiness. Money's nothing. And God's going to prove it. He's going to make sure that the financial system that we depend on as a God for most people is going to be gone. I mean, how many people have you heard, the war, World War II, they wanted to give good things to their children, and their children grow up and don't want children. It's the evil one has been in charge, and his time has now come to an end. And that's why Jesus says, now I'm going to give you life, abundant life, if you wish it, if you want it. I can't force you, Jesus says. So our job is to pray for everyone. We want everyone in heaven. We want everyone to have the opportunity to say yes to God. Yes, we want this life. So what Jesus teaches Luisa and teaches us through Luisa is how to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's to trust in the Lord so much. Jesus, I trust in you. Like he said, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. So we begin to understand the prayer that Jesus told his apostles. He says, pray, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. But now even more, he teaches Luisa how to do the command prayer. Lord, take my prayer and make it your command. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. It's what Peter said to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the water in that storm. If you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come, take my prayer and make it your command. When we begin to pray like this, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. You worried about your family? Surrender them to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Surrender them to the new and divine way of holiness that God wants to give to the world. And watch what God is going to do. So Jesus says this. He says, and if it seems that the soul does something, not doing the will of God, it is without life. It is strained, because Jesus says, my will alone, my divine will alone can give life, its divine life. And then he says, Luisa, what crime, Luisa, what crime that deserves no pity that someone would not want to have abundant life? What a crime this is. That's how far we are from God. When we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and we've been taught Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament, we receive Holy Communion. How many people show up late for Mass? How many people leave Mass early without the final blessing of the priest? How many continue to live their life of misery after receiving the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus? What Jesus is showing us is, he says, when the divine will reigns, watch the power that will come through the Holy Eucharist to those who receive Jesus. He says, you're going to become more and more like Jesus, like Mary. That, what is that? That's a peaceful, joyful, happy life. That's heaven. So Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this now. What the saints have taught is a basic. That means you have to become a saint. Volume 1, Volume 10, How to Become a Divine Mirror of Jesus. But now he's given to us how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming is going to shock the world. It's going to shock the world because we're going to begin to live this life of Jesus as divine life on earth as it is in heaven. And then finally, receiving the divine inheritance of the Father to go back to where we were before the fall, to be able to enter into paradise again. That's heaven on earth. That's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's coming. And our God is showing us, and if we're blind, we don't see anything. You know, life isn't that bad. No, we just legally kill babies. It's not that bad. That's paganism. You know, that's just one of the many sins, the great sins that are going on in the world that deserve punishment from God. What God is asking of us to do is to begin to think with the mind of Christ, to begin to have a memory of Jesus and Mary, begin to surrender the human misery, the human will, and to begin to live in God's holy divine will. And it can happen. Why? It was given to a soul, Louisa, who was born of original sin just like us. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. And God is just trying to get us aware of how great this is going to be. So what is he doing? He's letting the evil one take what's his and leave. The 3 days of darkness prove it very, very clearly. When the new day, when that third day, when the sun rises, it's a new day. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. It's not going to be the same. Why? All evil will be gone. And those who want evil will be gone. The kingdom is coming. And God is trying to get us ready to embrace this. So on volume 23, October 2nd, 1927, it happens with a soul as with the accidents of the host, that as though being matter lends itself to let it be animated by my sacramental life. So the bread and wine, the bread becomes the body of Christ, the wine becomes the blood of Jesus. Okay, as long as those same words are spoken by me in instituting the most holy sacrament are pronounced by the priest, this is what happens. And this is why some people want to change the Holy Mass. It's Jesus wants us to understand what Jesus has said, what the priests echo. The bread becomes the body of Christ. The wine becomes the blood of Christ. So you have to understand it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. The sacrifice that the evil one gave to that he wanted Cain to go against Abel was a blood sacrifice. Every war is a blood sacrifice to Lucifer. Every abortion is a blood sacrifice to Lucifer. And what does Lucifer say? This is my body. This is my blood. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And Jesus comes as the sacrament of life, sacramental life. And he says, this is life, my flesh, my blood. No longer the evil one. We're not sacrificing any animal or human, but it's my life that was sacrificed to give you the return of this divine life that Adam lost. So it's look at Jesus says this very clearly. He says it will be like in the time of Noah. They ate and drank. What did they eat? What did they drink? They were given in marriage. Who is given in marriage? You have to understand the evil one is trying to destroy what God has planned. And the evil one thinks he's won. He's, you know, God wins. You can't conquer God. And we're with God. And God wants to give us that reward, if you want to say, of heaven. You're finally, you could go back to paradise where you belong. And that's what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, my children are going to enter eternity where they belong and enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of Adam, the children of, excuse me, of Lucifer will be, always be trapped in time and space. That's where we are. Never enter eternity. That's where we belong. And never enjoy the beatific vision. That's what God wants us to have. He wants us to witness how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving he is. And he needs us to decide what life we want. And that's why we pray for everybody. We pray for everybody that they wake up and they say yes to God. They wake up and say, I don't want to be separated from you forever. I want you eternally. So Jesus says, those words animated by my fiat, this is my body, this is my blood, that contains the creative power. And this is why the matter of the host undergoes transubstantiation of divine life. It's the words of Jesus. Now think about that. Jesus is the word. It says in scripture, God said, fiat lux, let there be light. That was Jesus. He's the word. Let there be light. And all of the universe began. And then Our Lady echoes the fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. And the incarnation takes place. And now what God has given to Louisa, it's the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come, reign in me, this dust, this earth, as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, one can pronounce as many words as one wants over the host, but if they are not the words, those few words established by the fiat of my life, Jesus says, that remains in heaven. The host remains just a wretched matter that it is, just a piece of bread. So Jesus is showing us that there will be a time when this will be, they will try to change this. They will try to change the words of that Jesus spoke. We have to be aware of it. We have to be aware that this is, might happen, and it quite possibly will. And when that happens, are we going to be worried? Are we going to be fearful? Are we going to be anxious? Are we going to be complaining? Are we going to be negative? Or are we going to say, God's going to take care of this? Again, our faith, our trust is in the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our Master. There's nothing to be afraid of. But Jesus is warning us that if the words of the priest are not the words of Jesus at consecration, it is not the Blessed Sacrament. It is not the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. This is that ontological change that God breathed into the priests. If a layperson went up there to say that's it, what Jesus said, or Father Bucci would say that about the divine will. He says, the words that Jesus spoke in the divine will are to be proclaimed to the priest, by the priest to the people. They're the teachers. And he says, it would be as foolish for a layman to go to the altar and say, this is my body, this is my blood. We have the Eucharist. As somebody to, a layperson to teach the divine will. That ontological change has to be there. A homily by a priest is much different than a good talk by a layperson. The homily changes. The words that are spoken in a homily by a priest or a deacon or a bishop changes the soul of those listening. What is said, God uses those words from the priest, from the bishop, from the deacon to touch the soul. It could be, you know, I've heard people say, well, Sister so-and-so gave a great homily. Well, it wasn't a homily. It was a nice talk. And there's no way that can change a soul. A homily is different. And that's why it's the same thing for the divine will. Jesus says to Louisa, I give you this gift that you give it to the priests who proclaim it to the world. He didn't say lay people. And that's unfortunate. A lot of people like to Protestantize the divine will. Our job is to get this to the priests. Our job is to say to the priests, there's a big role that God has got for you. And he says the miracles that are going to come through the priesthood are going to be so vast, so great. He says that unheard of prodigies are going to be happening. everyone will be Catholic. And the priesthood, Jesus says, is going to be what I wanted it to be from the beginning. So it says, this life, this divine life, it says, happens with the soul. The soul who can do, say, and suffer whatever she wants. But if my divine fiat does not run inside of that soul, those are always, always finite and wretched things. How many churches have been built? How many monasteries? How many convents? How many hospitals? How many Catholic institutions have been created? And they're falling apart. They're being sold. If my divine fiat does not run inside them, these things are always finite and wretched things. On the other hand, Jesus says, for the soul who lives at the divine will, now this is what Jesus is offering to us. He's offering to us to live in the divine will. Those words of that soul, those works of that soul, those pains of that soul are like veils that hide God, the Creator. And He who created the heavens and the earth makes use of these veils and makes them of them works worthy of Himself, placing in them His divine sanctity, His divine creative power, His divine infinite love. See, what's coming to the earth is good. That's why everyone is going to be Catholic. They're going to see this. One of the images of Our Lady that's so amazing, approved image of Our Lady, is Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling. She's veiled. Why? It's coming. It's like at a wedding, the woman is veiled as she walks down the aisle. When she gets to the aisle, the veil is lifted. This is what Jesus is saying. He says everything that a person does is like veils that hides God. And the earth makes use of these veils and makes them works worthy of Himself, placing in all that she says, does, and her words, her works, her pains, placing them in God's sanctity, in God's creative power, in God's infinite love. That's how we're supposed to live. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly in a human way. It's to share in divinity. That's why the priest every day at Holy Mass puts the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Not just doing the will of God, but living in the will of God. So God is trying to teach us how to do this. And the one example that we have is Luisa. Luisa, Luisa, Luisa. So he says, therefore, no one else, though he might do great things, can compare to that creature in whom my divine will lives and reigns. And that's Luisa, and dominates. The word domination, we see very clearly that those machines, those dominating machines, weren't telling the truth. But when Jesus says, when the creature where my divine will lives, where my divine will reigns, where my divine will dominates, he says, these souls are going to do great things to change the face of the earth. That's what's coming, to change the face of the earth. And I don't have my crucifix here yet. It's still on the altar. So I will say a prayer. May the Lord Jesus, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord Jesus bless you, divinely heal you and your entire family. We pray this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. We pray that Our Lady, Queen of Peace, brings peace to the earth. And we pray this as Jesus' command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.